Hello, and welcome to the Campus Bible Study podcast. Campus Bible Study is the Christian University group based at the University of New South Wales. We seek to prayerfully proclaim the crucified Christ as Lord of all, and hope that these weekly podcasts are an edifying encouragement to you, wherever you are tuning in from.
I'll just turn it up if I need. Well, g'day everyone. Welcome back to the Campus Bible Study podcast for Term 3. We've had a great start to campus for the term, and we had a great break as well, but it's good to be back as we get back into Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount. Carl, how have you found being back on campus?
Yeah, it's great to be back. Last term of the year, can you believe it?
I know.
And then we send you off to college at the end of the year.
I know, I'm going to miss this weekly podcast, but I'll miss the engineers even more.
Excellent.
Well, let's crack on into it. We heard a talk from Carl this week on Matthew 5, verse 1 to 16. Starting off the Sermon on the Mount, and there's a few really good questions. So we're going to start off with Ben from Science, who's said, "Great talk, really interesting take on the salt. Is it wrong to still think about salt in these ways, such as analogies or in that kind of sense?" He says, "Low key, it's like eisegesis."
So eisegesis meaning kind of reading things into the text, yes, rather than reading things out of the text.
Yes. Do you want to give us a brief rundown of what your take on salt was and then answer his question?
So there's all these theories about what salt was used for in the ancient world, and preachers often use those theories like it was used for preservative, it was used for adding flavour, it was used for fertilising fields, and it was used for killing fields, basically, nuking them. So they then work from either preservative or flavour or, the nuking's a hard one to work from. But so in other parts of the Bible, it's sometimes helpful to know those possibilities when salt is used. But here it could be actually a bit of a distraction, because you don't need to know what salt was used for here. Mm. You just need to know that if salt loses its saltiness, it's useless.
Mm.
That's all that Jesus is getting at there. So by all means, knowing what salt was good for might help you in other places, but here it might just distract you from seeing that the big issue that Jesus is really clearly talking about is that if something is meant to be doing something and it can't do it, then it is useless.
Mm.
And that seems to be a commentary on perhaps the people of Israel living out the Beatitudes, which God had called them to do.
Mm. Really helpful. So in answer, don't.
Well, it may be helpful in other places.
And
but
not in this context.
We've just got to keep reading what Jesus is saying rather than importing things that he's not saying. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks, Carl. Next question comes from Selwyn, who's a med student. He says, "The upside down kingdom is a common lens of interpretation many preachers have. Is it valid to say the Sermon on the Mount is a guide for how Christians should live after putting their trust in Jesus?"
Okay, so I don't use the upside down kingdom language myself very much, but I think I know what it means. It basically is saying that Christianity is about the blessed ones are the humble, the meek, not the powerful and strong and rich. And so God kind of takes the world's values and kind of turns them on their head, I guess, the upside down kingdom kind of idea. What I was trying to do in the sermon, it may be a helpful thing, the upside down kingdom, but let me tell you where it might be misinterpreted. Being more humble and being meeker and being whatever else is in the Beatitudes doesn't make you a Christian. So what we need to see is that these things need to be fulfilled for us by Jesus before they're lived out in us with the help of his Spirit. So what I was trying to do in the sermon was show that very clearly, that you can't be humble enough, you can't be meek enough to do this on your own. So the upside down kingdom idea might be helpful as long as people realise that Jesus has got to do it for us before we'll be able to do it, well, he can do it in us by his Spirit. So that's what I was trying to show in the sermon, that very clear thing that even just trying to turn your life upside down and be humble, meek and everything else doesn't make you right with God.
Mm.
Those things flow out of Jesus making you right with God.
Really helpful. And another question that's kind of similar vein of how we understand the Sermon on the Mount, particularly the salt and light section from Simon in Law. If Israel was tasked with being salt and light to the world, is this now the calling of the church as the true Israel? Can it simultaneously be a judgment for Israel and an instruction for us?
Okay, I really like this question from Simon because he illustrates what we've just talked about a little bit. We've gone Old Testament Israelite, New Testament Christian church kind of thing. And what's missing? What would be in between? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we do that kind of church is the replacement of Israel, we've failed to see how much we needed Jesus to be the true Israelite first to fulfill it for us before we are invited to share with him in it as his church. So I guess the danger of that church replaces Israel is that you don't see the significance of Jesus being the key person who fulfills Israel, you know, as the true Israelite who fulfills all that Israel was meant to be and then shares that with his people, the church, through his Spirit as he leads us. So, there are things, like obviously the Beatitudes are all good things that I hope you are working on in your own life, growing in being, you know, meek and mourning over your sin and being pure of heart. They're all really good things, but they're things that you can only work on if you're already saved by Jesus who's done it for you. And so just getting that progression right, not forgetting Jesus is the key in between Old Testament Israel, New Testament church.
So for both these questions, the key from going from the Israelites to us, or the Israelites to us as the true church, regardless of it, the key is to make sure Jesus is in between.
That's that, right.
And not jumping.
Yeah, and we so easily just leave Jesus out. In this whole Sermon on the Mount, we can apply it without going through the cross and the resurrection. So that's our challenge. We've got to keep thinking, how does the cross and the resurrection inform what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing Jesus say to the Israelites in Matthew 5, 6 and 7?
Yeah, really helpful. And then last question for the week is a little taster for next week. What relationship does all this, as in verse 1 to 16, have to verse 17? Is Jesus the ultimate beatitude keeper? And is that equal to be the ultimate law keeper?
Okay, it's a very good question. And I like, what I love about this question, thank you Samuel for asking is that you've thought about context and you've gone, these sections don't stand on their own. They're all related to the sections that come around them. And I love that you've seen verse 17 is important. Let me read to you verse 17 in case you don't have a Bible in front of you. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now, what does it mean for Jesus to fulfill the law and the prophets? Now, one aspect is that Jesus perfectly obeys the prophets and the law, in a sense, and perfectly responds to them. So that's a really good option. But I wonder actually whether fulfilling them has even more. Because, in a sense, what's God's big plan that is revealed through the whole Bible? It's that people might be righteous before him and rightly related to him and glorifying him for his grace in doing it. I wonder whether Jesus fulfills the law and the prophets by providing the thing that they promise but maybe can't deliver. So I love that Sam's gone in this direction, and we will touch on this a bit more this week.
Is that too much of a spoiler for
next
week?
Yeah, I know. Oh, it is. I've given too much away. But great question.
Yeah, phenomenal question.
Now, we've done four questions, but we've got some other stuff going on at uni at the moment. Nathan, can you tell us a little bit about Heightened Mission? We're all excited about what's going on. Tell us about the next few weeks, what will be happening. We'd love people to be praying.
Yeah, we'd love to have you guys praying for campus and for the students and for us as we go out and share the gospel. Next week, we have something called a Mark drama happening, which is basically a dramatized version of the Gospel of Mark, which gets acted out in a really cool way by a bunch of students who aren't necessarily, they're not drama students, actually, I know a lot of them, but they're people who have been memorizing Mark for the last month or so. And the next, over the weekend, they have 2 full-day rehearsals, and they have a Monday night rehearsal after uni class on Monday, and then they have performances Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So please be praying for the cast as they do these rehearsals. It takes a lot of energy. Pray that they will know what they're doing and be keen to speak the gospel clearly in their acting.
Yeah.
And also pray for them as they manage uni and church commitments on top of that as well. It's going to be a big week for them. Mm.
And this drama is done in the round, so it happens in the middle of the whole audience, and we're hoping for 200 to 300 audience members each night, aren't we?
Yeah, so we're looking at about 600 to 700, 800 people across the whole thing. And what we've been encouraging all the students and staff and people at our churches to do is invite friends along, because it is one of the easiest invites you can do. I know I was talking to a student today who said that she just invited 6 friends en masse, and they all said yes. So they're all coming.
Isn't that brilliant? Yep.
So
please pray for those friends that the Gospel of Mark dramatized might really convict them of their need to put their trust in this Jesus.
Yeah.
And what else is happening in the mission?
We've got the week after, we've got mission talks happening. We've got a couple of guests coming in, as well as one of our very own doing a couple of talks.
Yep.
And we'll tell you more about that next week. And then the week after, we've got another Mark drama happening in Mandarin, which I think is only the second one ever to happen in the world.
Yeah, and I think we did the first
one. Yeah, I think the first one was done a few years ago by UNSW.
Yeah, it's great. We love it.
So, yeah, this is a great... We've got a lot of Mandarin speakers who have come and visited CBS. A couple from O Week. I think one of them decided to put their trust in Jesus after one conversation.
Fantastic.
Which is exciting. So please be praying for mission. Pray for our students that they'll be bold in inviting and having conversations. And pray for the people coming along that they would be saved.
Yeah, thanks for your partnership from afar. We really appreciate the many people who don't often get onto campus but care about the ministry here and partner with us in prayer and financially. We really appreciate that.
Kyle, would you be happy to close in prayer?
I would love to. Dear Father, thank you for the big CBS family that cares about evangelism happening here at UNSW. Thank you for many people who pray hard and support financially so that we can keep doing this ministry. We pray, Lord, that the next few weeks will be really honouring to Jesus as his gospel is proclaimed. We pray that you will have mercy on many and open many blind eyes to see the truth about Jesus, that beautiful truth that we love. And Father, we pray that you'll give us energy and excitement to talk to our friends about Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be really good at holding out the word of life to many who are perishing. Father, please strengthen us for this important task. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us next week. We'll speak to you next week on the rest of Matthew 5.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Campus Bible Study podcast this week. Please make sure you are subscribed on your regular podcasting app. You can get in contact with us at campusbiblestudy.org. There, you can also find details about upcoming events and information about partnering with our ministry, both prayerfully and financially.